That selection is taken from Mendelssohn's great oratorio, Elijah, and both Courtney and Ruth are going to be singing in Elijah, or at least many excerpts from it, in a few weeks' time. And you would do yourself a favor to get a ticket to that concert, which is going to be held at the concert hall. A number of years ago now, when I was about Ruth's age, I was married to another woman by the name of Jezebel, as I, in that oratorio, was Ahab. And I was glad that I got rid of that wife and found the one that I'm presently hitched with. And things are going well. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy and chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I read the first 15 verses. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Once again this morning, as the previous three Sunday mornings, we come to a faithful or a trustworthy statement which the Apostle Paul gives us here in 1 and 2 Timothy, as well as in the book or letter to Titus. Here these are pastoral epistles, and we consider them undoubtedly to be the conclusion to Paul's ministry. Here, he is no longer at liberty to move about as he would like to have, and as he has done so many times before. And 2 Timothy especially, we regard undoubtedly as his last letter. I've had always a key regard for Galatians, that brief letter that Paul surely wrote as his first, or the one that we have retained to us as first. How that in such a succinct manner, Paul lays out and quashes the heresy that circumcision does something in order for us to have salvation full and free, to know it for sure. Paul puts that aside. But also 2 Timothy, how that it speaks powerfully to us For here he is bidding farewell not simply to Timothy, his son in the ministry, but he is signing off and he is speaking, I have run the race. There is now laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul is looking back over his service, his gospel proclamation over so many miles, and he is wanting now to pour everything he possibly can into Timothy and into everyone else who would read these words, that we might have the strength to press on. And Paul especially gives us two words. He says to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to remember and I want you to remind your hearers. Now, as we read through these brief verses, and we could go into so many other places where Paul opens up a little bit of his personal story to elaborate on the shipwrecks, to elaborate on the beatings, to elaborate on the sleepless nights, we understand that here it is not an easy task to be in this world, not of this world, but to be faithful, to be proclaiming the word of God as we ought to be. Now, once again, as I have said before, we do all ourselves a horrible disservice if we say, well, let's take out 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus from our Bibles, and let's shove that over into the pastor's office, and let's give that to the church leadership, and let's have our hands off of that, and let's look at other things. You see, gospel proclamation is not just for the pastor, and it's not just for the elders, it's not just for the leadership. It is something that is to be shared in by all. And we must all understand the cost, and we must all understand what we are to do and how we are to delight in remembering time and time again and being reminded of the goodness of God and what he has done for us. It's impossible for me to remind you and to help you to remember Jesus Christ if you look at me and say, look, we don't want to have anything of that to do. We want to have pleasant words, and we want to have entertainment. We want to have things that dazzle us and entertain and titillate the imagination and stir within us thoughts that we've never thought before. The hymn, Tell Me the Old, Old Story of Unseen Things Above, of Jesus and His Glory, of Jesus and His Love. And hymns that we have loved that speak, tell the story, tell it again, it is worth hearing more than once, more than a dozen times, more than a thousand times. It is unparalleled in this world. Linda read for us the extensive account of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 38, how that this godly man, weeping prophet as he is remembered, how that he was treated. And so we have an account not simply from Paul's day, how that he suffered and that how he labored to faithfully proclaim the gospel, but we also zip back more than 600 years prior to Paul, and we come here to Jeremiah, and we come to the time when Jerusalem is about to fall. And we see that there also, what was Jeremiah's crime? Had he stabbed someone? Had he robbed from someone? Had he slept from another? Had he slept with another man's wife? What was this that these people so despised Jeremiah that they sought his life? Jeremiah had faithfully, truly spoken the word of God to the people, and for that they wanted him silenced. They wanted him dead. It was just like Jesus coming, and he says, "What word have I spoken to you that you want to kill me?" Here in Jeremiah's experience, he had stuck faithful, he had tenaciously clung to the word of the Lord that had been given to him, and for that, they threw him in the dungeon, into that cistern, so muddy, and there is where he would have starved. But even having been pulled up out of there, and the king comes and says, "Look, I want to have a little private conversation with you. Tell me once again what's going to happen here." And King Zedekiah, he says, "Well, I got political problems here. I've got people who will hand me over to death." And Jeremiah says, "Not so. Listen to the word of the Lord." Paul experienced those very same struggles, those very same difficulties. But he comes to his son in the ministry, Timothy, and he says, "Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He doesn't say, "Timothy, go and study and get all the degrees that you possibly can. Get all of the learning of this world. What I want you to be strong is in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." What is grace? Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. It is the gifts that God has given. Nothing that we have earned, it's simply what God of his own mercy and kindness and love has poured into us. And so Paul says, "Timothy, if this is the last thing you hear from me, this is what I want you to remember. This is how you are to be strong in gospel ministry." And he says, "The things you heard from me, I want you to entrust to faithful men who will be able to pass that repeatedly on to others. Timothy, I want you to suffer hardship with me." Paul was not asking Timothy to do something that he himself had not done first. As a good soldier of Christ, act in this manner. He reminds him no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. How many distractions there are. How many other roads, rabbit trails that we might pursue. But Timothy says, if we are going to please the one who has enlisted us, who has bid us come, who has commanded us to come into service, this is how we act. Forever I think of Matthew there at those tax tables, and Jesus marches up to him and says, "Matthew, follow me." And Jesus there by the Sea of Galilee, he comes to Peter and Andrew and then also to James and to John, fishing or washing those nets, tending them, mending them. And Jesus says, "Come, follow me. I want to make you fishers of men." Well, if those men were to please the one who had enlisted them, they were not to go back to their fishing. They were not to entangle themselves in other things. They were to stay the course and press on with diligence and with tenacity. Paul also says, verse 5, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. If before the starter gun is shot, the athlete is already running down the track, then he is disqualified, of course. If there is pushing and shoving, if he comes out of his lane at the wrong time, well, then he is disqualified. And Paul says, the hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive of the share of the crops. And he says, consider what I say, the Lord will give you understanding. Now, here are these two words, remember and remind. Timothy, and here essentially smack in the middle of this letter, he says, Timothy, remember Jesus Christ. Now, what could we remember of Jesus? Remember that he had a beard, or remember that he was Jewish, or remember what? Remember that he never married, or remember Jesus Christ, the ministry that he carried out, that he came into this world to save sinners. Remember the name that he was given, that he was Savior, and that he came by miraculous means. Remember that he came to give his life a ransom. Remember that he died the sinless for the sinful. Remember that he was mocked and scorned. Remember that he was reviled. Remember that the people hated him, and Jesus himself said, "If they hate me, the Master, how much more will they hate you who come after me?" O Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, how that with the power of God he was risen from the dead, of royal descent, a descendant of David, according to my gospel, my good news. And Paul says, as I remember Jesus, I have gladly suffered hardship. Now you know that Paul didn't always suffer hardship for Jesus. First of all, he was one who inflicted hardship on others because of Jesus Christ. But that point came where there was that radical change, that radical time of repentance and turning, where Paul said, I realized who he truly is, that he is Lord, and that I must bow before him. So Paul says, I remember. And as a result, this is how I conduct myself. And even though I am imprisoned as a criminal, the word of God continues to move out and to spread. And Paul says, for this reason, I endure all things, all things. You see, here in 2 Timothy, Paul is once again in prison. And it may very well be that the axe that would come down on the back of his neck is already been sharpened. We do not have a full understanding of exactly what took place at the end of the book of Acts. You remember Acts, how that the conclusion is Paul there in Rome in prison. He had designs on going to Spain, but it seems that God had other plans. We don't know whether Paul was released from prison for a long or for a short time, whether he went to the east or whether he went to the west or whether he went in both directions. But now we find him in prison once again, and his end is very near. And he's being treated as a criminal. Why? Had he slept with someone's wife? Had he knifed someone? Had he stolen from someone else? No, just as Jeremiah, Paul's crime was to bear witness in a hostile world that would have nothing to do with the truth of God. Here, Paul, his only crime was that he was holding forth hope in the midst of all that was hopeless. He was sharing love where there was only hate. And here, Paul, he's back in prison, and his pen becomes his voice, and he sends forth the word. And he says, Timothy, I've written to you trustworthy statements before. Add this one too. If we died with him, we will also live with him. How do we die with Christ? Through the waters of baptism, believers' baptism, we come. And as a person is immersed, it's like they're being immersed in a watery grave. We die on that day when we surrender to our Lord and Savior and say, Lord, it's as though the old man is being put away. I die with you. if we endure, we will also reign with him. We are counseled in Revelation, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. If we endure, to those who would read the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, we have this word to those who thought maybe we were wrong. Maybe we should turn back. Maybe we should go to our old ways. The word is press on, hold on by faith to the very word of God. If we endure, we will also reign with him. This is the promise for each and every one of us. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we say, we know nothing of this man, who is he? He will also deny us. We must be faithful. If we are without faith, if we are faithless, if we are spiritual bankrupts, it does not mean that he is bankrupt or that he is faithless, for he cannot deny himself. He is love, he is faithfulness to the very core. Now, the Apostle Paul says, remind them. Paul has been talking to Timothy especially. He says, Timothy, remember Jesus. But now he says, Timothy, you have a congregation before you, and you have a field of service, and this is what I want you to do. You are to remember these things. You are to hold on to them, and you are to grow in them, but you are also to remind others also. This past week, I was watching a fascinating documentary of old homes in the country of, or the region of Wales. Those historic old grand homes, which date back, some of them, hundreds and hundreds of years. We were taken down into the kitchen where the servants would serve years ago, and there was an old kiln style of oven there. And the explanation was given that there would be a fire that would be started, and the hot coals would be put inside that kiln, and they would be left there for a while until the whole structure would heat up, and then they would scrape out the ash and the coals and throw them away, and they would put the dough, the bread, in there on that dirty surface and let it bake. And who of us haven't heard of the upper crust? But where in the world does that come from? But the servants would take that loaf of bread, just freshly baked, they would take that out of there, and instead of cutting it as we do, like this, they would cut it like this. And guess where the upper crust went? Well, it went upstairs. It was the lower crust, that dirty one that had sat in the ashes, that went to the servants for them to be satisfied. Well, I was amazed by this, thinking, well, I've heard of the upper crust all my life. I was remembering, but I was growing in my understanding at the same time. And here, Paul says, remember what you have learned. Remember those things. Let them warm your heart once again. Let that stir within you. But grow, and let others grow also. Remind them of these things, these trustworthy statements, that if we died with him, if we endure, if we deny, if we are faithless, remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words and useless things that leads to ruin, but be diligent to present yourself approved to God as one who needs not be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Now, once again, we come back to the place where we say, well, isn't this just, it's a Timothy, it's a pastor thing. You encourage. Every congregation encourages the proclamation of the word by how you remember, by how gladly you are reminded. This past week, I was very sad to hear of a church where a new pastor has come, and where for the first number of months, as I spoke with one individual, it was just glory. It was amazing how that this guy was just the best thing that had ever landed. But things have gone sour. You see, what was happening was not gospel ministry, but I dare say it was more entertainment than gospel proclamation. And the people were being entertained. But I tell you, that is a beastly road, and I feel for my brother. I feel for him, because you cannot maintain that. If you fall down into the rut of entertainment, it is a vicious cycle that you fall into. But if you simply open the word, and though there is no loud applause, though there is no loud cheering, people aren't saying, wow, this is new and this is exciting, this is great. But as you simply, faithfully send forth the word. Now that is a choice of the preacher, but the congregation also shares in that how you receive the word. Whether you say, well, look, preacher, we've been in church for decades, and we've heard that stuff before. Isn't there something new? Isn't there something amazing? Isn't there some other chapter of the Bible that we've never, ever heard of that you could enlighten us with, that you could amaze us with, you could entertain us with? Don't. Whether it be in this body or whether it be in any other, crave the word of God and come back simply to be remembered, to be reminded, and to remember all who Jesus is and to grow in that. Lord, we consider what Paul so many years ago wrote to his young friend, associate, son in the ministry. And we look here, remember and remind. Lord, how tempting it is to go off in other directions. And it happens. It happens. We see it. It's tragic. It is the death of a ministry, though for a little while it seems to breathe new life, but it's a false positive, it's false life, it's animation, it's not real thing. Lord, would you place within our hearts such a love for the old story, such a delight in the simple gospel truth, the gospel which came to our hearts and which has breathed life into us, has literally brought us out of the darkness into light, out of death itself into life that we can never fully explain or comprehend, that has brought us off of the road of hell and onto the road of heaven and blessing. Oh God, keep us from clamoring for other stuff. But may we ever live near the cross and the unspeakable work that was done there. May we ever glory in the cross and delight in that work that you accomplished fully and finally for us. Lord, so work. Should there be anyone here today who has not come to surrender themselves to you, Lord, let this be the day. Let this be the day that they enter in, knowing of your forgiveness, your cleansing, and of that change of direction, complete radical change. from hell to heaven itself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.